Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already October 2nd and 3rd, depending on when you're listening to this. Saturday, October 2nd, after the 9 o'clock news, and Sunday, October 3rd, also after the 9 o'clock news. I want to give a big shout-out to my last week's guest, Joe Casper, who spent a good deal of time talking about Toastmasters and how that's improved a lot of people's professional career in terms of both leadership but also public speaking. This week with me is President Alfred Williams, president of the River Valley Community College, part of the community college system. And as everybody knows, if you follow the show, we have had other of the community colleges in New Hampshire on. We've had NHTI, we've had Manchester Community College. We had Tim Allison in general talking about the community college system of New Hampshire. We've had Chuck Lloyd of White Mountains Community College. So this is kind of our program where we talk about education and specifically the community college system. So, Alfred, President Williams, thank you for joining me this weekend. I know you're busy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us, I always get the feedback from the listening audience that they love to hear people's background, and I know that you did spend time in Connecticut and as well as Illinois, so I think people would love to hear your background. I know you got your bachelor's from Cornell, et cetera. So why don't you give us all that background, and then we'll, as we get further along into the program, we'll get more into River Valley Community College.
Yeah, well, you know, when I went to law school, and when I was in law school, I had no idea that what I was really being trained for was a career in higher education and not a career in law, because I had an internship at the financial aid office at the University of Illinois Law School, and that what I had learned in the financial aid office eventually led me to become a director of financial aid and work my way up through community college systems to eventually being the president at River Valley Community College.
Wow. So when you were in Ithaca, it must have been cold in the winter, so you're used to that, right?
You know, when I moved to New Hampshire from Connecticut, I felt like I was coming home because I love my 4 years in Ithaca where you always had snow on the ground and it was nice and brisk, and New Hampshire has very similar weather.
Terrific. So I'm assuming you're a skier and like the outdoors. Awesome. So I know that like a lot of the community colleges, there's, you know, general courses and so forth. But you are known for three specific programs that are fairly unique. So let's spend a little time with first respiratory therapy and then physical therapist assistant.
Yeah, you know, River Valley Community College primarily serves the western part of the state. We have campuses in Lebanon and Keene and our main campus in Claremont. But in addition, we have some programs that are unique. And so people come from all over New Hampshire to go to those programs. And one of them, of course, as you mentioned, is the respiratory therapy program. It is a program that is, you know, with COVID out there, is extremely popular and is really in the forefront of people's minds. Respiratory therapists are so vital during this crisis.
Wow. And when you say you have three campuses, Lebanon, Keene, and Claremont, when the pandemic first hit, I mean, how did you pivot so that you could manage all those three campuses? And I'm assuming a great deal of it, you know, at least last year was virtual.
Yeah, well, when the pandemic first hit, we very quickly went to remote learning that first semester in about a week's time period. So we moved all classes to remote learning. And finished the semester remote. We have a lot of allied health programs, and so the accrediting agencies in those programs gave exceptions to finish remotely for that semester, and we got that group to graduate. We actually, that spring of 2020 now, we had just as high success rates as we had the prior spring. One of the things we did is we gave every student a remote liaison, which checked in on students weekly to as they had transitioned to remote learning. We provided computers, we provided hotspots sometimes, whatever was needed to help students get through. And then last year, we actually were back on campus at a higher rate than most other schools. Because of our allied health programs, It was essential that students come in and do certain things in a clinical setting, in a lab setting, and so we had to have them on campus. So we had about 40 to 45% of our students that were on campus all year, and in some ways it looked like a science fiction film. They were in full PPE, full mask, full protective gear in the front, but we kept everyone on track, and it was vital that we did it because, you know, all of our graduates go right to work in the medical field, and it's vital to fill those jobs in New Hampshire. So we had to, it was a lot of just on the fly making changes. What was really fascinating was at the graduation ceremonies we had this past May, was listening to the students talk about how they also adapted, right? Like every time we had to pivot and change the way we did a class, they had to pivot with us and adapt, and they did it together with our faculty and made it through. So it was a real interesting year, last year and a half.
And thanks for your leadership during it. I know I've heard a lot of great stories, and I've actually I'm publishing a book about leadership during the pandemic, and I know that basically sometimes you're sitting here in the unknown, but I think you obviously pivoted, you know, extremely effectively. One of the things that I'd like you to talk about the Second Chance Pell Program, which is awesome. So I think you'll have to sort of start from baseline and explain what a Pell Grant is, and then how you accomplish that.
Are you referring to the Second Chance Pell Program for inmates in prison?
Correct.
Yeah. So a Pell Grant is a grant that comes from the federal government that pays for students to be able to attend college. It's when you fill out it's the main federal grant that exists for students that are receiving financial aid. And back in the 90s, Congress passed a law that said that if you were incarcerated, you were not eligible for a Pell Grant. So prior to that, there used to be a lot of instructions that occurred in prisons. Because of the elimination of Pell Grant eligibility for inmates, that went away. And what was seen was it actually had a real negative rate on reoffenders. When inmates got educated, their rate of reoffending went way down. So they saw data that said that this didn't make sense long term. So in about 2016-15, the Obama administration enacted a special program called the Second Chance Pell Program, where they gave waivers to schools to offer Pell Grants to inmates. And at the time, I was at Quinebaug Valley Community College in Connecticut, and we applied to provide classes to our local prison. And it was an extremely successful program. We had over 100 inmates that participated in the program each semester. They received degrees in business. They received degrees in manufacturing them. Many of them went right into jobs when they left the prison system. And there's been a push. Now Congress has... It's actually a bill that gets bipartisan support. Both Republicans and Democrats supported reinstating Pell Grants for inmates, and that will occur about Department of Education is currently rolling it out in about 2 years. In the meantime, New Hampshire is looking into the partnerships with the community colleges. White Mountains and NHTI have prisons in their area that they're looking to partner to reintroduce programming into prisons at this time.
Congratulations on that. I know that was in Connecticut, but I just think the way you described it is amazing, and I'm sure that Gretchen at NHCI might want to pick your brain on how you pulled that off. You did another thing in Connecticut that I thought was terrific, and that is you instituted a quote-unquote no-loan policy, kind of using your creativity with financial aid expertise. Can you describe that to the listening audience?
Yeah, so I started as a director of financial aid in 2003 at Quinebaug Valley Community College in Connecticut, and I had worked my way up to the vice president before I moved to River Valley to be the president here. And in the early aughts, there was a bankruptcy bill that was passed that made it so that it used to be that you could not get a federal loan forgiven in bankruptcy. And then in the early aughts, there was a new bankruptcy bill passed that said that private loans were considered educational loans, and they couldn't be forgiven in bankruptcy. And when that that's really when we started to see the amount of debt really increase in the country, the amount of debt that people take out for college, because you know, there's a safety for lenders that where they know the loan can't be forgiven, so they're more apt to give it out to people that maybe, you know, wouldn't normally qualify for a loan. And so schools could rely significantly more on debt. And while I was the director of financial aid at Quinnipiac, I would get these phone calls consistently from people in the area that would say to me, I borrowed $100,000 in debt. I'm making $30,000 a year. I can't get out of this. What advice do you have? And I really, there's not a whole lot of advice I could give out there, other than get in a time machine and go back and not take out the money. There weren't a lot of good solutions there. So I looked at the area that we were. We served a rural area that was poorer than the rest of the state of Connecticut and at Quinnipiac, and said, we're looking at a ticking debt time bomb. If our students are borrowing tons of money and then, you know, don't repay that money, and we're going to put the whole area into issues with more debt in the area. So we partnered. I partnered with the foundation, our money-raising arm of the college, and we designed a program that instead of giving students loans, we would give them grants. The foundation would raise money. They'd raise money in the area on the premise of we're going to reduce loan indebtedness in the area. It will be better for the community in the long run. And so we opted out of the federal loan program. And when we did, we would provide students with we had, you know, state grants, we had federal grants, but in addition, we had this supplemental money that came from fundraising. And we were able to provide the agreement with what we said to students is we can provide your tuition fees and books to students that had needs. And that was our commitment. Say, if you have a financial need, we'll find the money to get you tuition fees and books. We don't have the resources to provide your living expenses, right, your rent, your things like that. So let's figure out how we can make this work where you're already earning money, you're already working, you're already paying those bills. We'll take care of your college bills and get you through college. So that was the program. And it was when I first put it in place, I was very nervous as the reaction would be because there's this tendency to be, well, we need to make money available for students. But I knew it was successful when every year at graduation, we'd make an announcement that this is the first graduating class with no debt, this is the second, and we'd always get the loudest cheer. So it had a real impact on students.
Wow, that's terrific. So we're going to segue back, though, now back to home in New Hampshire, River Valley Community College, after commercial break. The website, if you're interested, and I know that the President Williams has piqued your interest, listening audience, is rivervalleyalloneword.edu. That's rivervalleyoneword.edu. Please stay tuned with commercial break with more of President Williams and River Valley Community College. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, this weekend, October 2nd and 3rd, and with me is the very dynamic president of River Valley Community College, which has campuses in Lebanon and Keene and Claremont. Alfred has a robust background in education and law and finance, and we're lucky to have him in New Hampshire. So I'd like to now spend specifically more time on River Valley. Again, the website is rivervalleyoneword.edu. So we talked about the respiratory therapy, and then let's talk about the other two signature programs, the physical therapist assistant and the medical lab technician. I actually had a former employee do the MLT program. And I'm assuming, I guess I made an assumption that with all of us getting older and with this kind of being a topic that more and more people are understanding the importance of PT, that the PT program must be pretty vibrant. But tell me about it.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty vibrant. It's the only associate's degree program of its type in Vermont and New Hampshire. And, you know, this past spring, we had the largest graduating class in 10 years. So it is a very popular program with a lot, you know, with great job prospects. And what was really interesting this past year is, you know, with a lot of our allied health programs, the students have to do internships like nursing, respiratory, others. They go to hospitals, and those hospitals will open. With PT program, they tend to go into very small offices. And because of COVID, those offices had a lot of restrictions. And so we weren't able to do the internships in those sites during the past year. So what we had to do is working with the accreditor, because the program is accredited by the Commission on Physical Therapy Education, is we worked with them and we set up a PT lab in our Claremont campus. We kind of built it just for COVID for ourselves. We hired mock patients who would come in and simulate different injuries and different things that PT therapists would work on, and they would gain their clinical hours through a combination of sites that would actually take students and in our working lab with our faculty. All of our faculty hold doctorates in the field, and they work in the field, so they're taught all of the latest curriculum and such. And we made that work so that we ended up graduating the largest class that we have in 10 years in last spring, and got all of those students in that program to not miss a beat during the COVID crisis.
Wow, amazing. I think you should write your own book on the leadership during the pandemic. Now tell us about the Medical Lab Technician Program, or MLT. I've heard a lot about it, and I know, like I said, I know several people that have participated. So tell us about that program.
Yeah, again, the MLT program is the only program, associate program of its type in New Hampshire and Vermont. So like with the MLT program, with the respiratory program, with the PT program, we see that we get students not only from Western New Hampshire, but we get students that drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours, because they want to be in these programs, because they want to go into those fields. And that program, you know, it prepares you, you know, for working in the lab. The job outlook is really good. There's 100% placement for employment since 2018. Salaries are very high across New England, and many, many positions are unfilled. So our graduates, they get hired, you know, before they even get to graduation. There's different specializations that you can do, whether it be chemistry, microbiology, transfusion, whatever the interest is. Again, we have a lot of state-of-the-art facilities in our Claremont campus. Our lab is a state-of-the-art student. We get students work directly with, you know, urine samples, blood samples, everything that they would normally do in the hospital setting. We talked about our respiratory program earlier. We have similar type of equipment for respiratory, where we have simulations. They call them SimMan. We have a child that's simulated. You set the device up, and it simulates different symptoms of a patient. The respiratory works together with nursing, so that you can have a setting where there's a nurse in the room, a respiratory student in the room, and they're as if they're in the hospital setting. And so very similar with MLT, where if you go by the MLT classrooms, they're always in the lab coats, they always have their gloves on, they're always doing the work of analyzing materials, looking through the microscopes, doing everything that's needed to get them trained. And there is an internship component to the program, so they do go out into the medical setting and get hands-on learning while they're doing the program.
Gosh, you're exciting the listening audience. You know, if I were a mom or dad and listening to this, and my daughter or son wasn't quite knowing where she or he may be heading, I mean, some of these programs are awesome. And it's interesting that you're saying that it's not just the local population in the western part of the state, Keene and Claremont and so forth, but in Lebanon, but people are driving dozens of miles to come. So that's a real credit to you and the community college, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that the salaries for these programs, starting salaries, are so good. Like respiratory, some of our graduates are getting hired at $60,000, $70,000 to start. We have data that shows that River Valley, along with White Mountains Community College, has the highest rates of students jumping from the lowest fifth of income to the top three-fifths of income within 5 years of graduating. And a lot of it is simply because they're going into these fields that train them for a career that pays well, and it really makes an impact on their lives.
Awesome. So, again, the website is rivervalley.edu. Would you talk a little bit now, President Williams, on how you're, you know, very supportive of students, both in terms of, you know, food insecurity, gardens, and things like that?
Yeah, one of the things, our students, I'm always amazed when I walk around River Valley at how studious our students are. Like, they're always studying, they're always working, and it's because our students are balancing so many things. Our students have families, our students have jobs. It's over 85% of our students are working. So they are going from class to work to family. They're balancing everything, and they're making it work. And many of our, the majority of our students, more than 50%, qualify for those Pell Grants that we talked about in the first session. And so we know that there's a lot of stresses on students, and we try to clear as many of those stresses as we can for students. And so one thing that we're very proud of is that we have an extremely large food pantry that we have for students that we have right out, and we keep that food pantry stocked through donations, through the SGA, through different things. We have it stocked continually, and we put a lot of, like, kind of grab-and-go meals so that a student can, like, as they're going home, grab a box of pasta, go home and cook it for their family, grab a packet of rice. And what we introduced this summer, which we were really excited about, is we started growing food in – we have beautiful grounds on our Claremont campus, and we started a garden, and we started growing food. And we've had fresh vegetables, tomatoes, cucumbers, spinach – in our food pantry coming right from our garden all summer. So, you know, it is a program that students routinely send me, like, thank you notes to say, our food pantry is such a boost. It really helps me get through school. So we're really proud of it.
That's amazing. I congratulate. I'm so enjoying talking to you because it makes a lot of sense. You know, basically, they have a family, they have a job, they're squeezing in the lab work. They're going to class. They don't have time to shop. If they can grab something that's relatively healthy, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. What about tutoring support?
Yeah, we have students that come from all levels of background for what they've been trained on education-wise, and so we consistently are providing training for students. At the beginning of the semester, we really focus on things like study skills, time management, planning with so many things, balancing. Students, need to learn those tools, and so we're constantly running little free seminars for students. We do them on Zoom now due to COVID, and, they attend and we really focus on that. And then, in addition, there's free tutoring that's available for all classes for students. So if the student needs any support in a particular class, they reach out to our students, our ACT Center, and they will set them up with a tutor. Again, in some ways, COVID has made it so that things are easier. It used to be in the past that they'd come in and we'd schedule them a room. Now we just put two people on Zoom, and they're doing tutoring at whatever time makes sense for them in whatever place makes sense for them.
That's interesting. Certainly, no one enjoys the pandemic, which is still going on, but it definitely has accelerated some of the trends in learning, such as Zooms for tutoring and online classes, et cetera. So that's a great point. I know you don't like to toot your own horn, and congratulations again on your leadership during the pandemic. But you also have led the school through reaccreditation. So tell us what that's like, having been on a couple of college boards and knowing what that's like and hearing the management and staff talking about that. I know that's can be daunting, although it can be done very confidently and you actually learn something from it. And if time permits, I'll watch the clock. Maybe you can also talk about how the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation allows some sort of free classes for high school graduates. But why don't we start with the reaccreditation and how you led that process?
Yeah, sure. When I started as the president at River Valley in July 2018, and River Valley was in the process, you get accredited by NECHI, which is a New England accreditor, and we were every 10 years you have a reaccreditation process, and the outcome of that process is either that they kind of come back in 2 years to evaluate something you've done, or they put you on a 5-year type of plan and come back, or you get another 10-year and you do a 5-year self-study in the middle. And so very quickly when I came on board, with the NECHI visit was coming about 7 months after I started, we had to put together a plan to, when you do an accreditation for the school, it's everyone's involved. Every person in the school is involved, every faculty member, every staff member, everyone plays a role. And a lot of my first 6 months was doing a lot of planning for that visit and really getting people to be proud of the accomplishments of River Valley and putting them into that NECHI report and sharing them with the team. And the end result was when they came in April that year, we ended up with a full reaccreditation for 10 years, and you know, the best possible outcome we could have hoped for. So that was very positive.
Congratulations. That's incredible. And tell us how you interface with the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation in terms of enabling new high school graduates to perhaps come on board with a free class.
Yeah, with my financial aid background, when we thought through when this community college system looks at different ways that we can get money for students, I'm usually called on to be a part of that team. And Tim Allison and I, who Tim Allison you've had on before, worked very closely together with the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, and they were interested in matching what had happened in Vermont. Last year, Vermont gave a free class to all of their high school graduates due to the pandemic. And we started discussions and figured out a way to fund this through the Community College Foundation, New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, and every New Hampshire graduate that graduated this past spring is eligible to take a free class at one of the community colleges. And so far, we've already had, I think the latest numbers I saw today is nearly 1,200 students that have enrolled for that free class. Now, we know what happens with that free class is that students don't just take one class. They get into a program, they take a full thought, and if you come to River Valley and you get into one of our allied health programs, and it's what inspires you to do it is that free class, you could be 2 years later graduating and going into a job making $60,000-$70,000 a year.
Wow. And you're right. You sample the class, and you're going to get engaged, I'm sure. Well, we have told a great story of River Valley Community College, specifically the programs, the respiratory therapy program, the physical therapist assistant, and the medical lab technician, or MLT. We've talked about the student services, both in terms of, you know, free tutoring and free lunch or dinner on the run, and your leadership and accrediting this, getting the reaccreditation, as well as how you pivoted the school during COVID. So I congratulate you, and how lucky we are, President Williams, that you love New Hampshire and you're here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I'm sure we're going to get some interested students and parents involved. Again, the website is rivervalley.edu. Thanks again, President Williams. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.